Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, folks.
There's Clay. I don't see Joe Turner.
Well, he just sent us an email. Check your email. He said he was waiting.
Yeah, I saw that.
Is he over in participants? No. Attendees.
No.
That'll be a disappointment.
Well, that's going to make for an interesting hearing.
I'll fill in for him.
Yeah, you probably don't want to, Keith.
No.
Can't find him. There he is.
There he is. Yay. Whew. Good
Good morning.
morning, Joe.
Glad to see you. I was wondering if the things were, if I'd missed a button or something. Are we ready to go? Are we recording?
Give me just a
How'd you do?
second here. We have six people in the attendees panel right now. We have Beth Dittman, John McCabe, Mark Gatta, and Robert Fallow, and then somebody else is on the phone. So are any of those people one of your consultants?
No.
Okay. Okay, we'll just leave them where they're at for now. Okay, and we are live.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'll call to order this hearing of December 22nd, 2020, in the matter of case file Z0434-20-C, an application by the West Lynn Wilsonville School District for a storage building. My name is Joe Turner. I'm the county's hearings officer. I'll begin with some announcements and a summary of the process that will follow. This online hearing is reasonable and necessary at this time to comply with the state's social distancing order, maintain public health and safety, and meet state-imposed deadlines for decisions on land use applications. I start by saying I am not a county employee. I am licensed as an attorney and trained as a planner. I serve under contract to the Board of County Commissioners. I say that so you know you're getting a somewhat independent review of the application before me today. My role as the hearings officer is to conduct public hearings and make decisions about certain land use matters in Clackamas County. In making those decisions, I'm required to apply the county's existing laws. I am not a policymaker. I don't have the authority to vary from or change the laws. If you think that the laws need to be changed, you can work with the Board of Commissioners and Planning Commission to do that. But state law requires that this application be judged based on the laws in effect when the application was filed. As a hearings officer, I'm to provide an unbiased decision maker. I believe I am unbiased with regard to the application before me today. I have not had any pre-hearing contact with any of the parties regarding the substance of the application, and I don't have any interest in the subject property or any of the surrounding properties. But you have the right to challenge my impartiality, to argue that I'm biased in one way or another, and you can do that when it's your opportunity to testify. Procedure will follow. I'll start by staff to summarize the online hearing procedures, so how everyone can participate in the hearing, and also their staff report, copies of which are available on the county's website. Then the applicant will have an opportunity to present their proposal and respond to the staff report. Then we'll go to public testimony. Anyone who wants to testify about this application in support, in opposition, or with questions or concerns can do so. Staff will summarize how we'll proceed with that, given that this is an online hearing. Once everyone has had an initial opportunity to testify, I will give staff and the applicant an opportunity to respond to the testimony that was offered. If that response includes any new evidence, I will give everyone a chance to respond to the new evidence. Otherwise, I'll close the public portion of the hearing and announce what I'm going to do. Generally, I will issue a written decision within about 2 weeks after the close of the public record. I'll send that decision to the county. The county will send it to parties of record. So if you testify orally or in writing before the close of the record, you'll be sure and receive a copy of my decision when it's, or notice of my decision when it's issued. If you just choose not to testify, but want to be sure and receive a copy of my decision, you can email staff and request a notice of the decision. Anyone with an interest in this application may offer relevant oral or written testimony. The testimony should be relevant to the applicable approval criteria, which are set out in the staff report. Also, it's important that you make your best case to me. My decisions are final for purposes of the county, but may be appealed to the Land Use Board of Appeals or LUBA. However, LUBA generally will not allow new testimony and evidence on appeal. They'll decide any appeal based on the record before me. So if you feel it's important that myself or any future decision maker know something about this application, you need to make sure it gets into the record before me. In order to preserve your right to appeal, you or someone expressly representing you must testify orally or in writing before the close of the record. And in order to raise an issue on appeal, someone must have raised that issue before me with enough specificity that people can understand what it is and provide evidence in support of that issue. If you feel you need more time to prepare, you can ask me to hold the record open or continue the hearing. If I hold the record open, you'll have an opportunity to submit additional written testimony and evidence before I make my decision. If I continue the hearing, we can come back and do this again at a later date. Whether or not the hearing is continued or the record is held open for any other purpose, state law requires that I hold the record open for an additional week for the applicant to submit a final written argument without any new evidence. The applicant can waive that right if they choose, but if anyone else wants me to hold the record open for any other purpose, they must make that request before the close of the hearing today. When you testify, my decisions must comply with state law that requires that I issue the final written decision within 150 days after the application was filed. So there is some limit to how long I can hold the record open or continue the hearing. When you testify, please begin your testimony by stating your name and your full mailing address. Please spell your last name so I get it right. And if you represent someone else, please say so. As I noted, your testimony must be relevant to the applicable approval criteria, which you set out in the staff report. And please don't repeat testimony offered by yourself or earlier witnesses. I take good notes and I can review the record of the hearing if I need to, if I miss anything. Repeating your testimony doesn't make your case any stronger. This is not a popularity contest. The only issue before me is whether the application does or does not comply with the applicable approval criteria. Whether everyone loves it or everyone hates it is not a relevant issue that I can consider. But unless there's any questions, that concludes my introduction. Mr. Glasgow.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. I'm going to read a prepared script here regarding the Zoom process. Just bear with me. I have to do this.
Yep. No problem.
Clackamas County is abiding by social distancing requirements during the coronavirus pandemic, so this public hearing will be conducted virtually using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearing, which include the hearings officer, county staff, and applicant, have both audio and video capability. Audience members who have joined the meeting will have their mics muted unless they wish to testify, in which case they will be called upon to do so by the county staff moderator. Audience members' video will not be turned on at any time. Today's hearing is being recorded as required by law. The county will make every effort to post the recording on the county website as soon as possible. There is a designated time during the hearing when it will be open for testimony. The hearings officer will make it clear when this is. If you want to provide testimony, you will utilize the raise hand feature, or you can just literally raise your, well, no, we can't see you. So you have to use the raise hand feature. When the moderator switches you over to provide testimony, your screen will look different for a little while. Primarily, you will see all participants' cameras, not just the one who is speaking. Staff will call upon you when it is time for you to provide testimony. Be sure to provide your name and mailing address when you begin. That's so we can get a decision to you. Once you've provided your testimony, your mic will be muted and your screen will be returned to normal. If the record is left open at the end of this hearing and you wish to submit additional written testimony, you can either email that to me, and I'm going to have a PowerPoint slide that shows that, but my email address happens to be clayg@clackamas.us, or you can mail it to the County Planning and Zoning Division at 150 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City, Oregon, 97045. The staff contact email address is also available on the webpage where you found the Zoom link for today's hearing. Testimony must be received by 4 p.m. on the day the record closes. People who testify and provide their mailing address will receive a copy of the hearings officer's written decision. If you do not wish to testify but would like to receive the decision, you must provide your email or standard mailing address, either by email to the staff contact or by entering it into the Zoom chat function during the hearing. And that way, either me or Darcy can scoop that up and get it written down. And that is the Zoom hearing staff script. Are you ready for me to present the staff report, Mr.?
Yes, whenever you're ready.
And just in order to provide myself a little cover and also as explanation, I'm having a lot of difficulty getting into the county computer this morning. I cannot open my own staff report. I'm working on it right now. It's just very slow.
Take your time.
Yeah, I think it's probably my router or the broadband or something, but it just feels like things are moving at dial-up speed. I do, however, have a PowerPoint presentation, which I emailed to myself last night when this problem started. So let's see if I can get that going. All right, how am I doing? Can everybody see this?
Yes, now we go. Now we can.
Thank you very much. Here we are this morning. There's our file number. I'm going to be fairly brief. I've sent a staff report out to six individuals. It's also available online. Hopefully everybody who wanted to see it has seen it. If not, please contact me. And I'm going to be happy to send you a copy after the hearing. I do need to go over it. I'm going to be as brief as possible. I assume everyone here knows why we're here. But as part of creating a record, I do need to hit the highlights. So bear with me and I'll get through this pretty quick. So file Z04-34-20-C. This is an application by the Westland Wilsonville School District to construct a storage building, approximately 12,000 square feet, to support district-wide operations to include the adjacent Stafford Primary School and Athey Creek Middle School. The building, as discussed, will be unoccupied, unheated, no employees assigned, used simply for storage of equipment and supplies. I'm going to let the applicant get into much more detail on this. As described by the applicant, traffic associated with the proposal will be light and generally during non-peak hours, and will use the existing driveway off of Borland up through Stafford Primary School and through their parking lot for circulation. As far as background, the site is adjacent to the larger Stafford Primary School property. The property itself in question here is about 5.5 acres, give or take, west side of Stafford Road, south side of the Tualatin River. It is adjacent to the Stafford Primary School, Athey Middle School further west, and the District Operations Center. I'm going to have a map up here in a minute. You all know what it looks like. Site is currently vacant as the home and barn that had been there were demolished and removed recently. Zone designation is what we like to call RRFF-5. That's Rural Residential Farm Forest. The area generally, as far as area use, very generally can be described as rural residential. There's lots of other stuff going on, but generally speaking, it's rural residential on a variety of property sizes. This is just to get everybody oriented. Here's the 205 here. Here's Stafford Road, Tualatin River. Here's our subject property. Give a little more detail here, and this was submitted by the applicant. Thank you. It's very helpful. Here's the 205 freeway, the river. Here's the subject parcel, the 5.5 acres. This is Stafford Primary. This is Athey Creek Middle School. And this is a metro property, which has garnered some interest through this process so far. This is what it looks like from the sky. Zoom in on a little bit more. This barn is no longer there. The proposed building is going in approximately the same location, and though somewhat different shaped, it's approximately the same size as the barn that up until recently was there, has been demoed. This is a site plan. It's a little busy and hard to look at if north is to the right. So Stafford Road runs along the bottom of this. There's a lot of information on it. It was the best one that I could do, but it didn't really work for this slide. But here's the proposed building right here. There's existing driveway out onto Stafford Road that it's gated and will continue to be gated and not used as part of this proposal, be for emergency use only. The building itself, based on its use as well as security needs, it's rather bland. It's just metal side, corrugated metal siding, metal roof. It doesn't have any windows. It's got a couple of bays to it. Frankly, it looks like many of the barns out in the area. It's a little less noticeable the way it's shown due to the color. It's going to be kind of muted earth tones. But really, it's going to look like a barn. And it's, as I mentioned before, it's in essentially the same location and about the same size as the barn that had been there. As far as approval criteria, this is a conditional use, so it's section 1203 that's sort of the umbrella that covers all the rest of the criteria. That's why I've got it listed here first. Other criteria that apply are the underlying zone, some of the development review standards in section 1000. This happens to be along the Tualatin, so there's this habitat and other associated features with that. And now I'm going to go through this really quick. Section 1203 has six criteria. All six criteria must be met in order for this proposal to be approved. If even one is not met, it must be denied. First one, the applicant must show and the county must find that the proposal is in fact allowed in the underlying zone as a conditional use. In this case, underlying zone RFF5, table 316-1 from that section identifies school as a potential conditional use. This proposal is in conjunction with an accessory to a school. This first criterion is met. It is provided for as conditional use. Second criterion, the applicant needs to show that the site itself is capable of producing the use or of providing for the use, based on a variety of dimensional standards, physical features, that kind of thing. I went through extensive findings in the staff report and was able to get to the place where this criterion is also satisfied. That property itself, alone in space, can support this proposed use. Third criterion, needs to be shown the proposed use is consistent with section 1007.07. That's our transportation concurrency section. Need to show that the transportation network is adequate to support the proposed use or will be made adequate through this. And also the safety provisions of our transportation section. Sent this to transportation engineering. They submitted comments. We were able to make positive findings for the third criterion. Number four, D. Proposed use will not alter the character of the surrounding area in a manner that substantially limits, impairs, or precludes the use of surrounding properties for the primary uses in the allowed, uses allowed in the zoning district in which surrounding properties are located. This will probably be our main discussion item this morning. I was able to make positive findings here. You've got an existing school, so it's a rather large setup. It's been there a long time. This is an additional building, relatively minor compared to what's there. Again, this is probably going to be a discussion item. Fifth criterion, you need to show that applicable policies of the comprehensive plan are met. The applicant took a shot at this, so did I. I went through Chapter 4, Chapter 5, Transportation, Chapter 7, Public Facilities and Services, made findings. and was able to find that this application meets those criteria. Sixth one, you need to show the proposed use meets applicable requirements of the underlying zone, the RFF5 in this case. Those are mostly just property line setbacks, that sort of thing. Any overlay zoning districts, in this case, that's going to be the principal river called the Tualatin and associated habitat, Title 13 from Metro's functional plan. I made findings in the staff report, favorable findings in that. There is a Section 800, Provision 805 for schools, which deals also with simple setbacks that was met. Oh, my staff report finally opened up. It only took about an hour. That's good. Then under conclusions and recommendations, this is way too many words to have on a slide. Sorry about that. But basically, I was able to find that the six criteria required through Section 1203, which takes care of other applicable criteria, have all been met, and I'm recommending approval for this. That recommendation is one piece of the record. Other pieces will be in a form of testimony from individuals. The zoning ordinance itself, comprehensive plan, and all, you know, any other applicable criteria. There has been testimony submitted since the staff report and other information was sent to the hearings officer, including one just about 10 minutes ago, I see in my email. The hearings officer will receive all of this and will all be considered. I'm just pointing out that information has been received, including from our own Water Environment Services regarding surface water, an email exchange with Metro, with their concerns regarding their property adjacent to the west, as well as from several individuals. Again, I got a barrage of them last night and then at least two this morning now, it looks like. So, and just for a reminder, if the record is left open today, which it might be, and there'll be particular time periods, so pay attention to that. But if you do want to submit additional testimony by email, if the record is left open, send it to me, clayg@clackamas.us, or just send it snail mail to Clackamas County Planning. If you could identify what file it's for somewhere in there, that would be helpful. It would just get it to the file quicker. And that's the mailing address. And with that, that's about as fast as I could cover that staff report. Does anybody have any questions at this point?
Sorry, I forgot to unmute myself. I do have a couple of questions, Mr. Glasgow. Okay. Your PowerPoint, is that going to be Exhibit 10? It should be included as an exhibit. That's the next one in the list if there were emails received this morning, then...
if I added it right now, it would be Exhibit 17.
Okay.
I just completed it this morning, so it wasn't ready. But yes, it will be included as an exhibit.
Okay. I'll wait till we get the final exhibit list to identify it or give it a number rather than trying to do that right now. I will note you said you received some emails last night and this morning. I have not gotten those yet. I will review those before I make a decision on this application, though. I just have some clarification questions, mostly because I haven't done a hearing in Clackamas County in a while, so I want to make sure I'm up to speed. On page 11, under Water Environment Services, you use the acronym CCRS, Section 410. I'm just not sure what CCRS stands for. Clackamas County something.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, I'm so pleased the staff report finally opened up. That's on page 11 under 5-1. It says in addition to the CCRS section, that is Clackamas County Roadway Standards.
Roadway, thank you.
Right, section 140. As a follow-up to that, Water Environment Services has submitted, subsequent to the staff report going out, has submitted extensive comments and suggested conditions.
Should those, if I approve this application, I'm assuming I'll need to incorporate those conditions as well from Wes.
Well, yes, absolutely. And again, I don't have my exhibit list, but that is an actual numbered exhibit now, those new comments.
Can I get a Word copy of the Wes comments, or at least something I can, if it's a PDF, if I can copy and paste, it makes it easier to put those conditions in if I get to that point.
Yep.
And I'm just writing a note since you can't see what I'm doing. I understand the property consists of two tax lots, 201 and 2001 and 2003. Are they separate lots of record? And if so, will they be combined?
They are separate lots of records. This application will combine them from a standpoint of use, yes, but they are separate lots of record. There's also a lingering Measure 37 on this one.
Okay.
To allow further division.
But they meet the setbacks from the existing lot lines? That was my only concern.
Oh, yes.
Okay, because I wasn't clear where the lot lines were. On page 15 of your staff report, on the bottom, the very last line on there from Traffic Engineering, see Exhibit 4, is that a quote? The following, the applicant has proposed a development of 12,000 square feet. Is that a quote from Transportation Engineering?
Yes, short answer, but let me see how long it goes. That entire section, that block, one, and then on page 16, all the way down to consistent with the county's concurrency requirements, that is all a quote. Yes, that's
okay.
Just copy and pasted right out of their comments.
No problem. I'll just identify it as such when I incorporate the findings. Page 18, again, under B, almost the bottom of the page, it says planning staff refers to comments submitted from traffic engineering. Are those incorporated into this staff report elsewhere?
Well, they're both incorporated by reference here, but yes, they're cut and pasted in two different places within the staff report. Short answer is yes. All of the comments are contained within this document.
Okay, because I know the county wants all the findings in one document now, so I wanted to make sure we were doing that. On page 21, I noted that there is an existing well on the site, and that there's going to be one hose bib. Is there evidence in the record that that well is legally permitted? I assume it's just an exempt well, but that's a required finding.
Right. And that was my assumption, and I didn't go beyond that. But if they're converting the use from an exempt residential well to something else, it may in fact involve water resources.
Okay. I'll ask the applicant about that one. And then page 23, not sure, under number 6, section 1021, that last line says the following requirements and standards of 1021 are applicable to the proposal. There are no standards listed there. It's just a finding. Should that include standards from 1021?
Oh, can we just remove that sentence?
Sure.
Because it doesn't apply anyway. So yeah,
that's what I thought.
That's okay. A cut and paste boo boo.
No problem. Done the same thing before myself. I think that was the only questions I had for the staff.
Okay.
Yep. I'll ask staff, other staff, admin staff. Do we have any other comments from the public? In regard to the staff report, anything, has anybody written anything? Mr. Glasgow asked if there were any questions when he finished his staff report. I assume there weren't at that point. We'll just go to public testimony when we get to that. Okay. Just wanted to make sure nobody has raised anything about the staff report specifically. Okay. Who's going to testify on behalf of the applicant first?
Good morning. My name is Remo Douglas. I am the Capital Construction Program Manager for the school district. I will first testify on behalf of the applicant. As has been described, we are looking to construct a storage building in the place where there had been one. There was a barn on the property. It was not suitable due to a few details, and it was on a slope and things. And so we are looking to construct a new storage facility. It has been described in some of the commentary as a logistics center and major warehousing operation. As noted in the application and staff report, the district expects light traffic during non-peak hours. This storage building is being proposed for the storage of furniture and records and equipment. We do have another facility that warehouses food and other short-term need items elsewhere, but this particular facility is expected to see very light traffic. As noted, it's replacing a barn that had existed. We did meet with the Stafford Hamlet and CPO on two separate occasions to present the design of the project. And as a result of commentary received from the community regarding that first presentation, the nature of the proposed improvements was reduced and adjusted in order to be responsive and maintain a more rural setting for the application. And we've removed the contemplation of any future phases not planned for current construction, so that any of those future phases would need to be contemplated in their own applicable permits at such a time the district may wish to pursue those. We've also contemplated as part of the project additional parking spaces that would serve to benefit the existing primary school function. And we believe that that represents an improvement in terms of the traffic impact of the site. I'd just like to thank Mr. Turner for the time in hearing this and considering all applicable code, as well as the county staff for completing their report. The district takes no exception to any conditions that have been proposed by staff, and we find their findings to be reasonable and appropriate to all applicable code. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Douglas. The only questions I had were regarding the water. I'm assuming it's an exempt water well for residential. Is it continuing exempt to serve this use? And that was on.
Sure. I'll ask Mr. Fitzpatrick to confirm. There we go. I just got the text back correct. Okay, so this project is not contemplating any interaction with the well whatsoever, that it would continue as it stands today.
As I understand, there's a hose bib on the side of the building. That's the extent of the water use. So what do you mean no interaction with the well?
The design contemplates that the water would come from the existing facilities at the Stafford School.
Oh, so you're going to connect to the school water?
That's correct. Okay. The well in question would require substantial treatment in order to be used for potable water, which appeared impractical, as well as introducing further complication into this application.
You're not going to use the existing groundwater well on the site?
That is correct.
Okay. Okay. And then I understand you're proposing storage of equipment. Will that equipment be maintained on the site or just moved in and out as needed?
It is not expected to be a maintenance facility. We have our existing district operations center nearby on the same larger campus, adjacent to our Athey Creek Middle School. That is where our grounds equipment and such as our facilities for doing that maintenance are there.
Thank you. That's what I assumed when you said equipment, but that clarifies that issue. That's the only questions I had for the applicant, unless anybody else wants to testify on behalf of the applicant. Seeing none, Ms. Reinhardt, you want to bring in our public testimony?
If there's anybody who is participating as an attendee and you wish to testify, please use the raise hand function.
And where is that on their screens?
It's, depending on how your computer is.
Okay, we've got a bunch of hands up, so they've obviously found it. Yeah. If someone's calling in, how do they raise their hand?
star 6.
Thank you. So there's one person listed by a phone number. If you want to testify, go ahead and raise your hand by hitting star 6. And Ms. Reinhardt, if you want to bring people in.
Okay, we have 3 people with hands up. The first one I'm going to bring in will be Valerie Pratt.
Ms. Pratt, you'll need to, there you go.
I'm unmuted. Just took a minute. Hi,
and if you could provide your mailing address, please.
Of course. I'm Valerie Pratt, last name P-R-A-T-T, mailing address 21114, Southwest 86 Court, Tualatin, Oregon.
Thank you.
I'm here speaking on behalf of myself, my personal opinion, along with those of Councilor Robert Kellogg and Mayor Frank Bubenick of Tualatin.
I'm sorry, what was the mayor, the councilor's first name?
Robert Kellogg.
Robert, thank you. And the mayor?
Frank Bubenick, B-U-B-E-N-I-K.
B-U-B-N-I-K?
Correct.
Okay, great. I wanted to make sure I got the names right. And they're both Tualatin?
Yes.
Or what? Okay.
Robert and I are city councilors, and the mayor's the mayor.
Yeah. Thank you. Just wanted to make sure I get the right jurisdiction.
Okay. Section 2D1 of the 5-party IGA signed by Clackamas County, Metro, Lake Oswego, Tualatin, and Westland in 2017 notes that the purpose of the urban reserves designation for the Stafford concept planning area is to preserve lands for future urban development, not to facilitate or expedite their development under county zoning. The proposed use of 12,000 square foot warehouse does not clearly fall within the definition for any of the conditional uses within RRF5 zone land as described in the Clackamas County Code Section 316. The generic category of government use allows for conditional use, and there is also a generic category for schools, but neither of these categories seems to imply that a warehouse, even for government or school use, should be allowed as a conditional use. The 3-party intergovernmental agreement between the 3 cities aforementioned discussions have recently started. One of the main purposes of this group is to develop a cohesive approach on how the land will be developed in this area, rather than a piecemeal development of individual properties such as this warehouse. As part of Metro's urban reserves, the future use of this land is designated as urban, likely as an area for parks, residential housing, or employment, which does not lead to a conclusion that this warehouse would be either a corresponding use or the highest and best future use of the land. It is the opinion of myself, Councillor Kellogg, and Mayor Bubenick that it is in the best interest of current and future generations to protect rivers and wetlands in this area. Placing warehouse on riverfront property would not be the best use of this unique land that should be protected. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Would you please provide a copy of your written testimony so I can make sure I caught everything you raised? You could do that. You've read it into the record. I'm assuming we're going to hold the record open, but if we don't, you can just submit it because I will consider it as an exhibit. I don't have to hold the record open just for that purpose, but I'd appreciate it if you'd submit that just so I can make sure I caught all your issues. Also, you cited.
Can I write it to you through Clay or?
Through Clay would be great. Okay. That way it's part of the county gets it and it's part of it. They can include it as an exhibit as part of the record. Question I had was, you want to submit a copy of the intergovernmental agreement that you cited? Mr. Roscoe.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I've got that. And let me show it so we know we're talking about the same thing, but I'm going to include it as an exhibit.
The intergovernmental agreement?
I just want to make sure this is the same one. This is the third in a series of IGAs that have been signed. This, as far as I know, is the most recent, 28 June 2017.
Okay. Great. Yeah. Thank you.
This is it, and this will be included as an exhibit.
Thanks. I mostly want to make sure I caught all the parties to the agreement. I caught most of them, but not all.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Pratt. Who's next?
Next, I have Mark Gatta.
Okay, Mr. Gatta. And you'll need to unmute yourself as well.
Everyone. Can you hear me now?
Yep, yep.
My name is Mark Gatta, last name G-A-D-D-A. My address is 120 South Prairie Road, Lyle, Washington, 98635. I'm the adjacent property owner to the school's property.
In which and direction, sir? Is it north, south,
I
east,
have
west?
I have the connecting property that's north, east, that basically is the cutout in that property.
Okay. Thank you.
So that's my property right there.
Thank you.
I have some concerns over, obviously, the development of the property bought by the school and putting in a storage facility. I also have concerns regarding what Mr. Douglas talked about, that they're going to put on additional parking. Is that my understanding for Stafford? They're going to use a part of the property for parking lot for Stafford Middle School or Elementary School?
Yes. I'm not sure exactly how many additional, because they're taking out a few parking spaces to put the road through. They're going to replace those kind of on the flagpole area, and then they're going to add a few more. I'll let the applicant, well, it's not really a flagpole, but it's in the site plan. I'm assuming Mr. Glasgow can pull it up.
How many parking spots? Again, this doesn't fall under any of the conditional use for parking for the school, since it's a separate property from mm-hmm. the school. And then the other part of that is under section 1203, where cited initially by Mr. Glasgow that 316 under schools is conditional use, and then the building is an accessory to the school. Well, it's a separate property. You're buying, the school bought the separate lot, and so you can't put my understanding of the law would be you're putting an accessory building on that lot, not to any primary property building such as a home or another building, which this should be subject to under that regard. So it's a separate property. Is my understanding. This affects my property, I believe, in a negative way, just from the fact that they're going to add parking and the traffic that could be going through there. There's no guarantees that it's going to be light traffic. There's no guarantees that any additional buildings other than proposals that they won't go forth with anything at this time. But again, this is a rural area with as a residential, and the hope would be that it would stay in that regard, as opposed to start becoming some kind of industrial type storage area.
Thank you, Mr. Gatta. I will ask staff, the applicant or staff, whoever wants to address the parking issue when they return to testify. And if you
thank
have
you.
Follow-up questions on that, we'll let you raise those as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gatta.
Next, we have Robert Fallow.
Thank you. My name is Robert Fallow. Mailing address is P.O. Box 941, Lake Oswego, Oregon. And I'm a member of the board of the Borland Neighborhood Association. We represent about 26 property owners in Borland. And I'd like to comment on a couple of areas here. I did put in written testimony. This is supplement to that. Supplementary. Mm-hmm. Number one, the school district says they reached out to the Stafford Hamlet. The Stafford Hamlet does not really represent Borland. Never has. We were called out differently in the three-party agreement as a separate development area in it. They talked about this being a rural vision. First of all, that warehouse does not look like a barn. It's a warehouse. The vision of this area from back in 2000 when Tualatin did an initial concept plan for the area, and during 2010 when the Borland neighborhood put in a vision, paid a couple hundred thousand for it, is for a town center, as Clackamas County and Metro called out in their IGA of 2011, for this to be the town center for the Stafford area.
Mm-hmm.
Be a rural development, but a commercial, a residential multi-use area.
I understand, Mr. Fallow, but the issue before me is whether it's permitted by the current county code. The couple people have raised the issue of whether this is accessory use is allowed.
Mr. Turner, I'm coming to it. So okay. Part of planning criteria 1203.03D, planning has started. And the three cities have looked at that, irrespective of what the hamlet and the school district talked about there. The Borland area, there's been official recognition. We put in annexation request to the city of Tualatin. It was in December of 2019, and there was official action by the Tualatin City Council to go forward with getting the urban growth boundary amended and to go forward towards annexation. So there is a process going forward, and the county and the hearings officer, I think, should be aware of and look at that. The other thing is water quality was talked about. The wells right now are problematic. They've had to be treated. There has been fecal material that has gotten into the wells already in use by the school district, and they've contaminated and caused problems with neighboring properties. We have enough problems already, and for this to go in an additional use should be problematic here. I think that needs to be addressed by the school district more detailed to the county. The other is this is size. This warehouse is sized to handle all of the storage needs of the school district, not just the two schools. And it's taking the place of a warehouse that is located in the city of Wilsonville for the Wilsonville Westland School District. And if Fulton is going to be the area, have this as their area of interest, it should not be sized to handle areas outside of it. The zoning calls for it to be an accessory use of those facilities in the area, not for the whole school district. West Lynn has been the biggest entity that's been telling everybody that we should have no encroachment of other uses other than agriculture in the Stafford Triangle. Here, one of their government entities is being the biggest encroachment in the Stafford Triangle, these schools and others that they have put in. So we feel as a Stafford Borland property owners that this is encroaching on our ability to have to work with Tualatin to have the type of development we need. West Lynn and Wilsonville should look at property next to their cities or within their cities for this facility. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I will amend my written note to put these comments in it.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
And next we have Beth Dittman.
Hello, I'm Beth Dittman. My address is 22785 Southwest 89th Place in Tualatin, 97062.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for hearing me. I just am here to echo what Ms. Pratt had shared and show my support for her statements in conjunction with our mayor and with Councillor Kellogg.
Thank you, Ms. Dittman.
Thank you.
We have one phone number listed. Is that?
My apologies. I'm sorry. I'm watching four children today, so I forgot to say that my role within our city, in addition to being a community member, is also as the chair of the Tualatin Parks and Recreation Committee.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, we have somebody calling in with the The last four digits of the phone number are 5319. And if you, I'm going to allow you to talk if you wanted to unmute, if you want to provide any sort of testimony.
How do they unmute themselves? Yes. There we go. We can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. My name is John McCabe, address 435 Southwest Mikan Lane, West Lynn, Oregon, 97068.
Thank you, Mr.
I hope, is the YouTube of the second Stafford, Hamlet, and CPO in the record?
There was a video of the meeting. It was in the record at this point.
Okay.
That hasn't been included
yet. Could the county please supply that? Because the first meeting, the facility was supposed to be 12,000 feet plus future two buildings. And this building that they're talking about today, at that meeting, we were told it was going to be 10,000 feet or smaller. And don't shake your head, Remo. Please go back to that meeting. It was supposed to be a smaller size. The original was 12,000 and was brought down in size. And when somebody testified about the Wilsonville warehouse, according to the records provided to the school board, that facility has already been torn down. And for the staff report where it says that the home is still, raised, the home is on a different piece of property and the home is still there, as testified by the gentleman from the state of Washington. And what we have been told, we've been told that this facility will match in with the area, but it's not listed what the materials will be. It may be it steel, be it ceramic, be it wood.
The building construction?
With the area.
You're talking about the building construction, Mr. McCabe? Okay. I believe the applicant said it's going to be steel, like a metal barn building, but I'll ask the applicant to clarify that.
Well, I guess going with the environment, there are new materials that are made of wood that would actually be better for this area and environmentally more sound. Because with the wood materials, they would not stand out as much as these aluminum slash steel buildings in this area. The only thing it matches is further onto the property of the school district where they have, it's either another storage building or it is a workshop for the school district. It is on the land between, it's on the basically the AT Creek site. And that is a sheet metal type building. And that is the only one that is like that in the area of the school district. All the other buildings they've put in this area, including the sentence for operations, is regular material. I should say building material for people that are occupying the building.
Mr. McCabe, before you move on, I'm not sure what you mean by can you expand on what you mean by the material of the existing buildings, how it's
okay occupied?
I'm not familiar with the buildings.
Occupied buildings have been constructed basically of like wood or other activities like that. In other words, it looks like a house or a regular school building, and sometimes they have masonry on the outside. This building would not be masonry on the outside, and this one other building is not masonry on the outside. But all the ones that are occupied are used of different materials.
Okay.
Now, as far as traffic, there was a conditional use that was placed in on Athey Creek when that school building was built, that there was supposed to be no through traffic from Stafford to that site. The road in between was an emergency fire road. And for many years, there was a chain across the road so that nobody could go through the the Stafford parking lot and continue on into the Athey Creek site. There's even a sign that is still there that says that you are not to progress through there, that it is supposed to be basically a closed off emergency only road. And in order to make an emergency road, nobody's supposed to park there. But ever since Wilsonville Warehouse was taken out, you have staff of the maintenance department parking in this area, which is supposed to be, yes, they're not on the center part of the road, but it makes it almost impossible because there's no code enforcement for the emergency use. And these vehicles basically need to be parked where they're operating out of. And so there may be a capacity issue already where there needs to be more parking built on the Athey Creek site. On this site here, there needs to be a gate placed for where the entrance is, not the actual entrance, but the entrance from Stafford. Because what will happen during non-school hours when there's events, it did occur in the past before they put in curbing, where people would park on the grass that is between this property and Stafford School, which is right on top of the leech line. And so there needs to be a gate placed across there during all hours that we can only, as they stated, this is going to be a storage facility. And if it's going to be a storage facility, a person can come with the key, unlock the gate, go in there, and come back out. By putting the gate there, it stops people from creating their own parking lot on top of a leach field. And if you put a bunch of Ford 250s on top of there, it'll collapse.
I understand, sir.
And therefore,
and that is what the county has required, is that access to Stafford be gated for emergency use only, that it can't be used for access to the facility. They have to go through the school sites in order to.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying, is they're not. They're coming through Athey Creek also. And okay. So there needs to be the gate at Athey Creek, which is the conditional use when Athey Creek.
So you're talking about it, the existing. I'm sorry, sir. Can I ask my question? There's an existing access way from Athey Creek to this site, and that's what they're using, and that's what needs to be gated, in your opinion. Is that correct?
In addition, they're supposed to not use it now.
Right.
There had been a chain, and so it needs to be mandatory immediately that they put a gate there, so that nobody can use the access road. It is considered, it's set up so that it will not be that way. If you look at the map
there we go.
That Mr. Glasgow's put up, you see the road. When you go past the trees there,
mm-hmm.
Okay, from there all the way to the where the hand point is, mm-hmm. is just only an emergency road. But that is not how it's used.
I understand.
Because they removed the conditional use chain link that used to be there. And so it's essentially the chain link needs to be put back or improved to allow nobody to use that emergency access road. And like I said, we do conditional use out here. Now, if you also look at the map, if you go to, you see the top of the white ceiling that is next to the grass field.
Where Mr. Glasgow's pointing right now?
No, go south.
Oh, the bright green grass field to the south.
Yep. No, keep going. Okay, now to the left. Left,
yep.
To the left.
Yep,
to the
I
left.
See which one you...
That building.
Yep.
Okay, that, to my knowledge, it says, I think, maintenance building.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess to, save this area of traffic, to my knowledge, according to a testimony that's been given prior in another situation, that grass field there is no longer going to be allowed by the school district to be soccer fields, and why that grass field was not considered for this building, it's a possibility.
Okay. Okay, Mr. McKay, the issue before me is whether what they proposed complies with the code. If an alternative, I can't consider alternatives unless they're proposed. So I understand a question for the school district.
Okay, the other thing is on the building that is right there right now, was there right now, because that building is now gone, and the house is where that green tree is. But the building, the farm building that's there, mm-hmm. was not 12,000 square feet. And in order to get it to fit in, I guess if anybody has the ability to measure how much that was, and if the building that goes in there, because it was just the barn, mm-hmm. is exactly the same size, I've got nobody, I think, on this phone call has a problem with it. As it's so if somebody were to measure that exact building, if they replace it with for that exact same size, but it's way less than 12,000 feet. The only other issue is to the west of there. You see that open area there?
Mm-hmm. West of the build?
Okay, that
is that where, well, where the handling was pointing? Yeah, okay. The Metro property?
Okay, correct. And they have, if the building's the same size as the ones that's there now, and that's their testimony that has been submitted, they have no issue. But if a lot of buildings go in that can affect this area, this sensitive conservation area, they have a concern. They have no concern with this, but the school district, after paying over $1 million for this piece of property, I really doubt that it's just going to be this. And the fact that they do not communicate what the true request is going to be for the advanced use of this property, we have no idea. Yeah. There's no transparency. And it is very disappointing, the lack of transparency.
But the only thing that's before me right now is what they proposed. Anything, right. any future again, development would be subject to additional right. review, and I can't make them.
Right. But on this barn here, if they build it to the exact same size of this barn, and if they use it, and if the conditional uses, especially for that access road, are put back into play, that it is not supposed to be used as a thoroughfare, which it is now, then the traffic counts office staffers that go into this and the current use of the school district of using that, because if you use that access road, it's easier to make a right-hand turn onto Stafford. Mm-hmm. If that access road is not there, they go out Athey Creek. It's difficult to make a left-hand turn.
Okay.
To
Again,
eventually get
Mr. McKay, that's an existing okay. problem that it can be addressed through code enforcement. It's unless I approve this application, Again, it's not something I can address. It might
right,
be something I can
that's
address with
that.
A
we
condition.
We have no code enforcement out here. That is the problem we have.
Okay.
That's why they were able to remove the chain. And I don't. And I think it needs to be. I guess we would look. The community would look at it different if the chain was put up there before the end of the year. Then we would believe that they were going to go with what the code enforcement is for this area.
Okay.
The fact that that the maintenance department uses that as a regular thoroughfare is very concerning to the whole community.
I just want to make sure I get the schools correct. The access road that you're talking about, that's on the Athey Creek site.
It's between Stafford and Athey Creek.
Right. But it goes along the boundary of the Athey Creek school. The school to this, the one that was outlined there. I just can't keep straight which school is which. Is he pointing at Athey Creek right now? Or he was?
This is the primary school.
And that's Athey Creek? Okay.
Athey Creek is over here. And I believe okay. this is the driveway Mr. McCabe is talking
yes,
about.
Yes, I understand which driveway he's talking about. Which school are you pointing at right now?
The primary
school.
That's Stafford.
Stafford, thank you. That's what I was afraid I was reversing the names, and I was. So that driveway access you're concerned about is on the Stafford Primary School site?
Right, it's the one okay. to the east.
Yeah, I just wanted to make, that's why I wanted to make sure I had the names right.
It's not the one where the hand is. It's the
here.
Other one. But but because if you do approve this, the people will have to come out of that barn, go to the right, mm-hmm. then turn around and come back and go out Stafford Road. And that's the way it is. conditional use is when they come out, you can't go immediately to the left. Mm-hmm. They have signs that say one way. It's not complied with.
I understand.
But under conditional use, I think it needs to be placed in the conditional use.
And that's what the information staff has recommended. And so that's what I'm, if I approve this, that's what I'm likely to do.
Well, we hope it gets enforced.
Yeah, I understand, sir. That's another matter. And it, if you're not getting action on code enforcement, you can talk to the, I'd recommend you addressing the Board of Commissioners. They're the, your representatives, and they can enforce, get code enforcement to take action if you're not getting proper,
we've tried that. We've tried. Okay. And I'm not going to mention the person's name because it's not proper at this time, but I'll give it, it's a she. And
okay. I understand there's issues with code enforcement, but it's not something I can address through this proceeding, except to impose conditions of approval that they take action to block that access if I approve this application.
All right. But thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. It looks like everyone who wanted to testify has done so. Am I missing anybody? Okay. Mr. Glasgow, any response from staff?
Not at this time, no.
Okay. Mr. Douglas?
Thanks, Mr. Turner. Allow me just a moment here. I've been taking notes, sort of gather thoughts. All right. So there's a variety of comments there. As regards parking space allocation, we are on the Stafford School site property, not the subject property. We are removing 7 parking spaces and adding 17. This is a kind of move that was seen very favorably in our interactions with the community. I believe the recordings and notes from both of those Stafford Hamlet meetings would corroborate that. There are additionally 4 parking spaces associated with the new storage building. And as I understand it, those are requirements of the building department. As noted in the application, there is no intention of having staff work out of that facility in terms of an office space or a working space. It's a storage building. Materials will be stored or removed. Regarding water quality comments, we are not adding, adjusting, removing, or manipulating leach fields in any way. We performed an initial investigation on the site to confirm that we're avoiding the leach line system. And I don't believe that adding a single hose bib from the existing school's water service would have a material impact on water quality as experienced by wells on adjacent properties. There's reference to a warehouse in Wilsonville. This is an existing school district property that had been in the county for many, many years. It was very recently annexed by the city of Wilsonville. It does have a metal barn, which is a traditional barn material in rural areas. It is factually a barn. It is larger than the facility were proposed. It does still exist today and is currently being used, but it is subject to a future school site. The construction of a primary school as part of our bond program, which is the purpose of constructing the storage building that's the subject of this hearing. So to say it's a city infrastructure piece doesn't feel particularly genuine, given that it's a barn that was in the county that the district's owned for many years. Regarding the initial versus proposed, again, it's not necessarily germane to the hearing, but since it was brought up, The district initially proposed a 20,000 square foot facility, much closer to Stafford Road, with a potential future 30,000 square foot addition. The district's uncertain where the numbers presented by others in public comment came from, but in the second meeting with the Stafford Hamlet, we proposed instead a 12,000 square foot facility, which is being proposed in the application. It was unclear to me the initial comments regarding an existing barn, whether it was being described as the property down in what is now North Wilsonville, or if it was the existing barn. That was on the site, as has been noted several times, was recently demolished. The existing barn, which is performing the storage function today in what's now North Wilsonville, is still there and is in use. There are multiple metal storage type buildings that the district uses. Mr. McCabe noted the current warehouse function that includes the district's freezer adjacent to the green soccer fields in the image. The office that I'm sitting in today, our district operations center, is also metal. There seem to be allusions to it being another material, but I can assure you from my view, it is metal and is in similar nature. I would have to review past documentation regarding alleged need to separate the Athey and Stafford campuses. As you noted, Mr. Turner, that's not necessarily germane to this application, but we'll need to review that. There have been a number of conditional use permits associated with this collective multi-building campus here, and we would need to research those various and see what the most current requirements are. Regarding designation of this proposed storage building as a maintenance building, we've clearly stated what its purpose and function is. There were times I was uncertain whether he was contemplating the district operations center or the proposed building, or the other metal structure that we looked at adjacent to those soccer fields. And as noted by Mr. Turner and staff, any future development that may or may not at some point be proposed by the district would need to go through all applicable permitting, including land use. There are no future phases currently funded at this time, and the district has no intention at this time to attempt to pursue them without funding. So at such a time that the need would be described and funding available, the district would contemplate whether or not this was an appropriate site for some future use. As regards comments by individuals from Tualatin, the district is uncertain why the city of Tualatin might not have reached out to the district to discuss the matter ahead of the hearing itself, or letters and emails within 24 hours of the hearing. But the district would need to rely on the existing code as it stands today, the review provided by Clackamas County staff and their view of code, and would hope to receive communication from the city of Tualatin regarding any thoughts they might have regarding potential land use actions in the future, so that could be discussed ahead of a hearing.
Okay. What about the issue raised by a couple of participants that the proposed facility is an accessory use, but there's no primary use on this site?
The district's views the collection of properties that are a collective campus here as a use. The district initially proposed the question to county staff of whether this action should be considered its own use designated apart versus an accessory to the school. It was viewed that because the district has multiple facilities on the greater campus, that it was disingenuous to state that it was separate from the school use, and therefore it was an accessory to the existing district use. There is existing warehousing function on the larger campus, as noted at the separate metal building adjacent to soccer fields on the Athey Creek site. So that is the direction the district elected to take.
But the site is two lots of record. They could be sold separately with this building on it. There's nothing, no condition of approval or any other restriction that makes this overall campus a single use or facility. And the Athey Creek site isn't identified as part of the site for this application. The Stafford Primary School is. But again, there's nothing that, no condition or others that combines them into a single facility. So that's a concern as far as whether it meets the definition of accessory use versus a primary use. Something you can address in the open record period if you want to.
Okay. Thank you.
There was a question. One person had a question about the parking. The staff has, or the applicant has answered that. Did anybody want to ask further questions about the parking issue? I think that's the only really the only new evidence that's been provided. Anybody want to raise their hand? Mr. Gowda, and I'll ask staff to add Mr. Gowda so he can testify.
Yes, thank you. I still am uncertain from your plan view drawing where this parking is. You said that the 17 spots, or you remove 7 and add 17 to the existing.
We pull up the map.
So you're removing 17 spots or 7 spots from the existing parking in Stafford and adding 17 on the Stafford property. Is that correct?
Would it be appropriate for me to?
Yeah, Mr. Douglas, if you can respond, that would be great.
Sure. Is this Mr. Glasgow's screen?
Yes. Yes.
If we could zoom in on the Stafford lot side, the parking area there.
Yeah, and I'm not actually where you think I am as far as being able to zoom in. So let me just
I want to be clear that the portion of the property that is adjacent to Stafford Road, that's not going to be added in as parking. Is that correct?
I think so, but let's get the map up here. Yeah. You're talking about Mr. Glasgow. Yes.
Yes. What is the use of that property? What is the plan for the use of that portion of the property right there?
Where the cursor is?
Yes.
There is no planned use for it.
No planned use. Okay. And then the parking that you have.
So I'm going to draw in blue. When we talk about the removal of 7 and the addition of 17 parking spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Oh, good. I didn't know you could do that.
Okay.
That blue area there. And everyone engaged that we had spoken with seemed to view that favorably, that we're adding parking spaces on the Stafford School site that supports Stafford School and increases the total parking there. And, you know, particularly when there's large events, parking can be a constraint. And so the goal is that property would be used for that purpose. So my second little rectangle, there's the 4 parking spaces associated with the.
Okay. All right. In addition to my questions regarding the parking, the fence line area, what is the proposal there?
When you say the fence line area.
The borders my property and the school's property.
Okay. So that's your property to the southeast, that open area.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yep.
Is the blue line generally reflecting your area of concern?
All the way down to the river, yes.
Okay. So on the area that's got the blue line, there are buffering requirements. So there's vegetative buffers that are being put in place, as well in certain portions, a berm. Jim, I don't know if we've got screen sharing to the other folks on my team, but I think Jim Fitzpatrick has a few slides that perhaps we could zoom in more clearly. But we've got a copy of the landscape plan that more clearly shows that. But the idea is that we need to create a vegetative buffer between the developed area of the site and Mr. Gatta's property.
I have blueberries growing on my property there, about a quarter acre of them. And then, can you still hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry, one moment.
And so,
there we go. Much better, thank you.
So, Jim, if you wouldn't mind zooming in on that buffering zone between the Gatta property and the Stafford River property. I don't know if we can zoom in a click or two, but what you're seeing in this zone here is landscaping being proposed, trees and shrubs, and a certain amount of berming in order to mitigate the visual impact that the development we have planned for the site might have on the adjacent property.
Okay.
The lower portion down at the river, there are additional trees that currently stand there today. Not clear down to the river, but again, we're not really planning to spend a lot of time down there as part of the construction. The idea is to stay up out of the floodplain. I forget the acronym, but there's layers of protections around the river itself, and our goal is to stay up and out of there as much as possible,
okay.
So that we don't, cross any of those lines and end up incurring a lot of cost in whatever work may be required to restore the area closer to the river. So we're looking to the extent possible, stay up and out of and away from that lower zone.
And what, just to kind of move on from that, what guarantees is the school district going to give the community that this storage facility isn't going to be turned into more than just storage and light traffic? Eventually, everything gets turned into something other than what it was initially proposed to.
And that would require additional review and approval by the county. What they proposed is what would be approved. Anything, changes.
Right now, they could put anything they want in there. They can put. Right now, they're saying they're going to put furniture in there. Are there going to be large garage doors to move heavy equipment in there? The tractors, the mowing equipment, that type of stuff.
That's not what they proposed. So that wouldn't be allowed.
Okay, so if it does happen, then there'll be a recourse to go and present that to the county, mm-hmm. or. At this point. Okay. And then again, I like to reiterate that I still believe that this property, as you stated earlier, didn't meet the conditional requirements because it is an accessory to a separate parcel.
I understand. Land. Yeah. And I'll address that in my decision.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. That's all I have.
Thank you. I believe it was Mr. Gatt. Can the applicant or the county submit, put the YouTube recording of the Stafford Hamlet second meeting into the record, because that was requested?
Yeah, the county does not have that. I certainly heard it. So that would be from the CPO, from the applicant. Somebody was actually there and does the recording.
Douglas, is that something the applicant can do, or I would hold otherwise I'll hold the record open so this public can provide that?
Yeah, we need to just figure out where that is. We've been asking for some time about the Hamlet posting the notes from the most recent meeting. I believe we eventually received them directly, but I don't believe they were posted online.
Okay.
We've been asking. I don't believe the district recorded the meeting. I don't recall. Okay.
So there is a request to do that. I believe it was Mr. Gatta. Can we put Mr. Gatta back on? So, Mr. Gatta, if you want me to, I can hold the record open so you can submit that YouTube link.
Okay.
It was you that requested that. Thank you. Thank you, Mr.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't me.
Okay. I will hold the record open so somebody can put that link on if they want to, because that was specifically requested. Put it into the record. And I think the best way to do that is hold it open for a week for the public to do that. Does the applicant want the opportunity to submit new evidence in response to that, or do you just want to submit a final argument? Because I would hold the record open just for the submittal of the YouTube recording, because that was the only request to hold the record open.
Keith, I'd appreciate any thoughts you have on that particular point. There's been several questions here. I think from our end, the biggest question is the primary versus accessory use and whether we feel we need to do anything other than submit a final argument, or if you think we should keep the record open to be able to submit other documentation.
Well, okay. My name is Keith Lydon, 4021 Southwest 36th Place, Portland, Oregon, 97221. I'm the land use consultant for the school district. So if I'm understanding correctly, we're going to be leaving the record open for 7 days at this point.
Yes, just for the submittal of that YouTube recording of the Hamlet meeting.
And then also during this time, are you saying then the district could either submit some additional evidence if it wants, or just some final rebuttal comments? Or
if the district wants to submit new evidence, I'd have to hold it open for a week for new evidence from everyone, another week for response to that new evidence from everyone, and then a week for the applicant's final argument, which you could waive if you chose. If you don't want to submit additional evidence, just want to submit argument, I can hold it open for a week for the YouTube video, and then a week for the applicant's final argument. And again, you can submit your final argument sooner if you choose.
Yeah, so this is sort of a conversation with the applicant in front of everyone here. But, I think that...
Keith, real quick, would you mind if so one of the challenges of this Zoom type process is that...
I was going to suggest we could just recess for a minute. You guys can mute yourselves and give Mr. Lydon a call.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that opportunity. Yeah.
That would give you the chance to do that offline.
The applicant has the burden of providing all of its documentation up front. And of course, generally most comment from the public comes within 24 hours, and it's something the challenge to respond to it in the hearing.
Yep. So go ahead and mute yourself and give Mr. Lydon a call. We'll just pause while you do that.
Okay. Right. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Turner.
You're welcome. While they're doing that, I'm going to grab my calendar. I can't quite see it. I see a couple of hands raised. Once Mr. Douglas and Mr. Lydon are back on, we'll go ahead and
see what those questions are
as well. Yeah.
When we're not.
Yeah. When everybody's here, we'll do that. Yeah. Just want to let people know who had their hands raised that we acknowledge we see them, and we will talk to them in a minute.
Holy smokes. Thank you.
So Clay and Joe, I just sent you an email.
Okay.
It has the YouTube link.
That's what we were looking for. That was for the Stafford meeting.
November 10th.
Okay. So
Stafford
that may
Hamlet
may that may eliminate this part of the issue.
Hey Darcy, where did you get that? Was that in our possession anyway?
I got it on YouTube.
I've been
sitting here looking it up while you guys were talking.
Cool.
Okay. All right.
Efficient.
Well, that will be numbered as an exhibit, but I've got it just keeps coming in.
We'll figure it out. The exhibit numbers once the record's fully closed. I will ask staff to send me a final exhibit list once the record's closed, but that's not a huge rush at all.
So slow.
Yeah, one of the joys of working from home and online hearings.
Well, it's just been the last 2 weeks. I don't know. I think it's something to do with my internet provider. It's just everything. It just slowed down about 2 weeks ago. Just everything, particularly if I'm in a Zoom meeting.
Looks like Mr. Leiden and Mr. Douglas are back. Gentlemen, the county staff found the YouTube video and added it to the record while you were gone. We do have two raised hands. Looks like there's three raised hands. I think Mr. McCabe is listed by his phone number as well as his name. So I want to see what those questions are before we give you the chance to respond to that as well. Can we add Mr. Fallow since he's the first one on the list? Yeah. Oh, there we go. Ms. Renard, can you add Mr. Fallow? And we'll see what his question was. And Mr. Fallow, you'll need to unmute yourself. There we go.
Thank you. Yes, there were some questions for clarification by some of the other people who had given testimony. I'd like some clarification because I'd mentioned about the use of the entire school district using this facility versus just the two schools there. And with the existing storage maintenance facility on the Athey Creek School, has that been adequate for the school district to handle the needs of the two schools that are located?
Mr. Fallow, you've raised that issue. And the applicant can respond to it in their final argument. It's as far as whether the existing facility is adequate isn't really an issue that I can consider. What they proposed is what they proposed. If it turns out to not be adequate, they'll have to deal with it. But it's not
adequate. And that if this accessory is I guess the definition of accessory use is my question here.
Yeah, that's something I will the applicant's going to provide some argument on that during the final argument, but I will have to resolve that in my decision.
And okay.
That is a significant issue, and I will consider that.
That's what I was trying to get to.
Thank you, Mr. Fallon. Mr. McCabe? Looks like staff's adding you. Just a second. There we go. Go ahead, Mr. McCabe. Mr. McCabe, you should be able to talk now. Oh, looks like you have to unmute your phone. Looks like your phone is still muted. We're not hearing you yet.
Darcy, is that the star six? Okay.
So, Mr. McCabe, if you hit star six on your phone, that should unmute you. There we go.
Okay, here we go. Can we see the parking lot structure again? Because I have a question on four spots. Right, because I have a question on four spots.
Okay.
Can the applicant do that? That was a really good visual you guys had.
Yeah. Jim, would you mind doing a screen share again? Or Kevin, if you're there.
And then also, since staff was able to find the YouTube, if they could also do the first session also, that'd be appreciated. Put that into record. Okay, my question is, that's not quite the right one. But it's basically in that area, in that corner. Yeah, the corner where those four spots are.
On the
that is a tight
Stafford Road, the Stafford's primary school site.
Okay, it's
where they're circling
to the
there?
Northeast, not where they're circling.
Next to the warehouse?
No. The four down here. I'm not seeing an arrow from you guys.
Okay, the arrows.
Okay. Okay, head towards Stafford Road to the south.
Okay.
There's four parking. Okay, go to the left. Now go north. I mean, go east. Go straight up. Those four spots right there. You put in a large vehicle there, nobody can make a right-hand turn. I mean, that's why there's never been four spots there, and I'm like, those need to be removed.
Can we expand that? That plan, because I'm not sure where the right turn would. Oops, too much. But there we go.
And that's when you come in.
So someone coming in from Stafford Road up that driveway, they would be unable to turn right? That's your concern?
Yeah, if there's any large. Okay, they would come up the driveway when they go to the right where that island is. I mean, there's two difficulties. It's hard to back up because there's an island there, and it's hard to go to the right because the distance between the island and the vehicle, because unless the vehicle is parked way far forward, the clearance can be impossible, especially if it's a large truck. Okay. And so if those four were removed, you can't remove that island. So unless it's necessary to have four spots, that they go someplace else, but not those four there, which are adjacent to that triangle island. It makes it impossible.
Okay, thank you, sir.
And then the only other is to put the YouTube on for the first Stafford Hamlet meeting would also be requested. And since staff was able to find the second one, they should
I will
be
able
have
to ask staff
one.
If they could find that. If I can't, I would have to either hold the record open. If staff can't find it before the close of the hearing, I'd have to hold the record open so the public has the opportunity to do that, because it's not something that I can require staff to, in case they can't find it, whatever. I want to make sure the public has the opportunity to get it into the record.
You should probably for the public have to get the Hamlet provide that.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm going to
do.
Well,
no, it was recorded by the county. There's a person, I can't remember her name, She's the county person that administrates all these
that
Zoom
may be
meetings.
Ellen Rogelin?
That doesn't sound like the name.
Okay. No.
So that's why
I can't remember the name.
There's different county departments and agencies, so I don't know which one it is. So it's not something I can require the county to do. I'm going to put the burden on the public to find that and either contact the relevant staff person agency at the county that has that recorded it, or find it on YouTube and provide us a link just to make sure it gets into the record, or that the public has the opportunity to put it into the record, rather than trying to put that burden on the county in case they can't do that.
Well, I can contact the Hamlet to find out who the person that does the recordings.
Okay. So I will hold the record open for a week for just that purpose, just for that
I one appreciate that
recording. What's the relevance of that? Or I do actually, what's the relevance of that first meeting video? What am I looking for there?
Well, okay. The layout of the buildings, the two meetings together will clear out why there was a change. And I guess what I'm looking at, which I brought up in earlier testimony, which Mr. Clay had laid out, was, I mean, if you look at the building here, I can't say for 100% that that's the exact same size building. In other words, they're replacing the barn that was there. I think the barn was smaller than that.
Okay.
And therefore, basically, we have nothing to complain about if it's the same size as the barn.
Okay. How does that first video relate to that?
Oh, because the first video had that building even bigger than the one here.
Okay, but this is what they're proposing.
And
so I'm not sure how that first meeting is relevant.
The building they're proposing here is even larger than the one that was proposed at that exact spot. And then the other part is
I'm sorry. Let me ask to make sure I'm following you. In their first meeting with the Stafford Hamlet, this building was proposed in this spot. Is that what you're saying?
There was three buildings. Three buildings that were proposed.
I understand that, and they're not proposed now.
And there was a building proposed for that area that the red dot is on. Uh-huh. I do not recall the size of the building in the first meeting.
Okay, so you want the video of the first meeting so we can review the size of what was proposed then?
Correct. At that location right there.
Right. Okay. I don't see how that's relevant to this application, because they may have changed it. But this is what's proposed, and that's, we've got the video from the second meeting when this building was reviewed. So what they may have planned in the past is no longer relevant to this application.
Well, let's put it this way: those four spots that I pointed out for parking, we never even saw that. Hamlet never even saw that.
Okay,
we would have brought it up if we had seen it.
But how is the video of the first meeting relevant to this application? I understand you're concerned about the parking, but
I'm trying to
see how the first meeting video is relevant to this application. It may not be necessary to hold the record open for that purpose.
Okay, the building that we are seeing that they want to construct now, it's larger than the barn that was in that vicinity, and two, it's larger than what was proposed in the first meeting.
Okay.
For that specific location.
Okay. So state law requires that I hold the record open for a week if it's requested. It has clearly been requested. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to hold the record open for a week for the submittal of the video of the first step. The first CPO meeting, let's call it that. And then we'll go to Mr. Douglas and Mr. Leiden and see if they want additional open records other than for their final argument. Mr. Douglas or Mr. Leiden, who do you want to go?
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Would it be appropriate for me to respond to the new question around those four parking spaces?
Sure. Okay. Please.
So there are four additional parking spaces in that, we'll call it lower left of the screen, since the orientation with the north area is confusing.
Thanks.
The district's civil engineering firm, 3J Consulting, is a professional civil engineering firm. They have software in addition to their use of code to track vehicle maneuvering and have expressed confidence in that location as being appropriate for vehicle parking. If the county were to condition the district to lengthen those stalls for some reason, within a reasonable amount, the district would be open to that. But again, it's been designed by a professional civil engineering firm, familiar and capable of designing parking lots. So the district has confidence in it. Regarding the existing barn size, the existing barn size was roughly 11,200 square feet. And the new building is being proposed at 12,000 square feet. It would be individuals' prerogative to judge how material of a difference that is, mm-hmm. their own viewpoint.
Okay. Is the 11,200 based on a map that's in the record now?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay. But we have your testimony. Okay.
And the other comment I'd like to make, I don't know if Ms. Reinhardt is looking at her email. I believe 3J has submitted an email to her during the hearing with both of those videos for those two meetings with Stafford Hamlet. If the county would like those to be entered in the record, I believe we're able to do so immediately.
Okay. That would eliminate the need to hold the record open for
if
additional.
She has received it.
I'll make sure we'll confirm
the email transmission. Additionally, on the topic of accessory use versus primary use, if the county were to create a condition of approval requiring the district as part of this application to consolidate the Stafford Primary School and the two lots in question here, the district would be agreeable to doing that and would do so prior to construction.
Okay. That does leave the issue that was raised in the testimony, just so the applicant has the opportunity to address it, that this maintenance shed is intended to serve the entire district, the needs of the entire district, not just the two schools on this site. So I want to give you the chance to respond to that issue as well during the open record.
Yeah. As noted in the application, it is a storage building to serve the needs of the district.
Yeah. And the argument was, therefore, it's not accessory to the uses on the Stafford School and this site. And it's broader than an accessory use. That was the argument.
Sure.
I will consider that argument and any response. Ms. Reinhardt, did you get the email with those YouTube videos?
Yes, I forwarded them to you and Clay.
Great. So the first Stafford meeting video is in the record now? Has been received by the county?
You should have links to both of the meetings.
Great.
Now.
Okay, great. That just wanted to confirm. So in that case, those two videos are in the record. There's no need to hold the record open for that purpose. Does the applicant want to submit a final argument, or do you want to submit new evidence?
The applicant would like to just submit final argument.
Okay. With that, I will close the hearing. I will hold the record open for 1 week until the 29th of December, a week from today at 4:00, for the applicant to submit a final argument without any new evidence. That must be physically received by the county by 4:00 p.m. on the 29th of December. I will issue my decision within 2 weeks, which should put us roughly 2 weeks, which would put us the 12th of January, 2021. I will send that decision to the county. The county will send it to parties of record. So if you've testified orally or in writing before today, then you will receive notice of my decision when it's issued by the county. As I noted, if you haven't testified and you want to get a copy of or a record notice of the decision, you can contact Mr. Glasgow to do that. But that concludes our hearing for today. Thank you all for your attendance.
I have one quick procedural question.
Yes.
As far as the proper way to submit this, is by email to Mr. Glasgow. Is that the way the district should do this?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Leiden. So with that, I'll close the record and close the hearing. Hold the record open for 1 week, as I just said, for the applicant's final argument only. Thank you all. Have a good holiday. How do I leave?